Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I am continuing a teaching that I've entitled A Sure Foundation, just talking about how important the Word of God is to your spiritual growth. I tell you, this is something that is just like a core foundational belief with me. This is really what changed my life. Any good thing that God has done in my life, the Word of God has been involved in it. Of course, it's the Holy Spirit that takes the Word of God and makes it come alive. It's the Lord who breathes life into it, and on you could go talking about it. But the Word of God is involved in everything the Lord does. As a matter of fact, I've been using these parables out of Mark chapter 4, and in Mark chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "The sower sows the word," and all of these parables about people sowing seeds, the point that it's making is that the Word of God is to the kingdom of God the way that a seed is to this natural world. Nothing in this natural world exists without seeds. All plants, all trees, all animals, all people come from seeds. You have to plant a seed. If a woman wanted to have a child and yet never had a physical relationship with a man, we would ridicule that and think you're crazy. That's not how it happens. You have to plant a seed. Well, in the same way, it's just crazy for people to say, "Why aren't I healed?" And then you ask them, "Well, what scriptures are you standing on?" "Well, I don't know. I think somewhere, I'm not sure if it's the Old Testament or New Testament. Doesn't it say that by the stripes of Jesus we're healed, I think?" You know what? If that's the way you are, no wonder you aren't healed. The scripture says in Psalms 107:20, I think is where it is, that he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destruction. Proverbs chapter 4 says, "The word of God is health unto all of your flesh and life unto them that find it." And on it goes. If you want to be healed, take the seed and plant it in your life. And that's what all of these parables have been talking about. So I've been dealing for the last week or so with the parable of the sower sowing the seed. A man went out and threw seed. It landed on four types of ground. Only one out of four brought forth fruit. We've already covered the first two. That was a situation where the seed fell on ground that was hard packed. It never even got into the soil. That would be comparable to a person who hears the Word of God, but their heart is so hardened that it never gets on the inside of them. It just goes in one ear and out the other. Satan comes and steals away the word immediately. Then the second type of person is a person that the word did get on the inside, but there was no depth of earth, and so there was just a quick spurt of growth, but it couldn't sustain because when the sun rose up, then the plant withered away. And the point that he's trying to make here is that there are people who the word does get on the inside of them. They get excited about it, but they don't let it get rooted on the inside of them. So when afflictions and persecutions come, they get offended and they lose their enthusiasm, their commitment to it, and the word ceases to work in their life. The third type of ground is listed in Mark chapter 4. And in verse 18, it says, "These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." You know, I think I've made this point already, but let me just say this quickly, that there's four types of people represented in this parable, and I believe that there is also a sequence here. I believe that all of us start off where we just don't have ears to hear. Our heart is hardened towards the Word, and the Word just doesn't penetrate us. And then you move into that next stage to where the Word does penetrate, but because of the afflictions and the persecutions, we let Satan steal the Word from us. And if you go beyond that, if you do stand and protect the Word and say, "No, I'm going to believe the Word. I don't care if it costs me friends. I don't care if it costs me a job. I don't care if it costs me anything." If you do move beyond that point, well, then the next thing that you come into is that the Word of God has now got depth of earth. It's putting down a good root system. It has the potential of really working. But then the next thing that Satan will throw at you is just being occupied with all of the things of this earth. Like it says right here, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. The first type of ground, the word never even got down inside. The second type of ground, the word did get inside, but it got stolen away because of afflictions and persecution. This third type of person is a person that they understand that they've got to keep the word in their heart, but then they just get occupied. Distracted is another way of saying this, to where the word of God no longer occupies their attention. And you know what? Like I said, I believe that there is a progression here. I don't believe you just automatically become fruitful ground that produces 30, 60, and 100 fold. I believe that we all go through these steps and stages where our heart is hardened and we got to change that. And then the word does penetrate our heart, but we are bothered by the afflictions and persecution. We got to work through that. And then we have these cares of this life and just life gets in the way of the word of God. I mean, you can get to where you're raising a family. You can get to where you're doing things. It doesn't have to be sinful things. And this is a very important point. Man, I pray that you're listening and get this. It does not have to be sinful things that chokes the word. It says the cares of this life. That you know, you could just be involved in life. Today, people with your kids, most people feel that their kids have to be involved in the soccer program and the football program and the basketball program and this and that and the choir and all of these different things. And I mean, families are going in a dozen different directions. In most homes nowadays, the woman is working along with the man. And, you know, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I don't think it's terrible or sinful or that you're demonic, you know, if the woman is working outside of the home. But I tell you, here's one of the things that you lose by doing that, is that the woman staying at home had an ability to draw the whole family together. And during the day, you know, she was doing things that when they came home, man, they were excited to come home to an actual cooked meal instead of one that's been nuked or bringing home something. And you did things. And the woman was able to draw the whole family together and make that family time something to where the family was held together. But today, we've got the man and the woman working outside of the home. The woman, when she comes home, is just as tired as the man, and the family suffers. And anyway, I could spend a lot of time on that. That's not my point. But I'm telling you, things have changed. And we've now got it to where husband and wife, children, everybody's so busy that, you know what, we don't have time for family devotions. We don't have time to sit down and study the Word together or to pray together or to spend family time together. And it doesn't have to be demonic things. There's nothing wrong with football and soccer or piano practice and things in their proper place. But you can get so busy that you don't have any time for anything. Let me illustrate this by using myself. That you know what? My life is just totally given over to preaching the gospel. That's all I do is preach the gospel. And I mean, this is what my whole life is about. I don't have any other hobbies. I don't do anything else. And so I'm not involved in demonic stuff. I don't have pornography. I don't watch much television at all. And if I do watch television, I try and find something that's edifying and uplifting. I just don't do much outside of Christianity. But here's my point. That you know what? We now have over 200 employees here in the U.S. And then we have more employees scattered around the world. We are in the process of trying to develop a campus where we've bought 157 acres and we are meeting with, I've been meeting with architects and with builders and I've been going to places to look at this and look at this. And you know, there's just so much that I'm doing. None of this stuff is wrong. It's all stuff that really needs to be done. But here's my point. I can get so busy with things that aren't sin, things that are good, that I could be so busy that I don't have any time at all to sit down and just be in the presence of the Lord and be still and know that He is God and focus my attention on Him. And I mean, I have been struggling. Last night, I forced myself to spend about 2 or 3 hours just studying the Word. I forced myself to do it. I had a lot of things that I needed to do. And yet I knew that I need to just give God's Word priority. And you know, I'm not just starting in this. I've been doing this for 41 years. I've been seeking God with my old heart and studying the Word. And yet you don't ever get to where the Word of God is. You just got it all figured out. As a matter of fact, I just now have enough understanding of the Word of God that I'm just now asking some good questions. I got a lot of questions that I haven't got answered yet, and I'm still studying the Word. And you know, over the last year of my life, I probably have received as much revelation from God through studying the Word as I have ever received in my life. That's amazing to me, because I have read the Bible, I couldn't tell you, but dozens or hundreds of times. I study the Word constantly, and yet I am getting more out of the Word of God today than I have ever gotten in my life. The Word of God is unique. It's like a bottomless pit or something. There is no bottom to it. You can never plumb the full depths of it. The more you study it, the more it begins to start opening up your understanding, the more you start seeing, and the more revelation you get out of it. So my point is that I am still in need of studying the Word, and today the pressures of running a ministry that has 200 employees here, others around the world, all of the things we're doing. Did you know I've got more demands on my time today probably than I've ever had? And if I'm not careful, I could be this third type of soil right here where the Word is taking root. The Word has taken root in my life. It's working. But you know what? I've got cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. Lust here, we nearly always use that word in a negative way, and so people think this is demonic. The word lust is just talking about a passion, strong, overpowering passion. It doesn't have to be a sexual, inappropriate feeling. The Scripture talks about in Galatians chapter 5, I believe it's verse 16, that the Spirit lusts against the flesh. That's not using it in a sexual connotation and in some bad way. It's just talking about it's a strong, powerful emotion, and you can lust in a good way. This is just talking about that the lust of this world, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in and chokes the Word. People can become so passionate about sports that it chokes the Word. Now again, there's nothing wrong with sports if it's done in the proper context. I don't think it's wrong to watch a football game or something like that. But if you are given over to it, to where I mean you have to watch every game, if you're watching 10, 15 games a weekend and you're playing, you know, I know I'll get criticism on this, but if you're into all of this fantasy football and if you are so into it that you know everything that there is, and I mean if it is possessing you and dominating you, it'll choke the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with football in moderation, but when you become a fanatic, it'll choke the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with exercise in moderation. The Bible says that bodily exercise profits a little. It's not everything. It does profit some, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Exercise is okay, but I've seen people that are just absolutely possessed with it. They spend hours and hours a day, and yet they can't find 10 minutes to spend in the Word of God. Your priorities are out of balance. There's nothing wrong with you having a family and raising your kids. You need to give some attention to them. They do need your attention. But you know what? You can literally let your family steal the Word of God from you, and you have to go out of your way to spend time to be in the Word of God. I'm just trying to say that if I, as a minister, can let the business and the details of ministry choke the Word, things that are good and things that are necessary and things that have to be done, if those good things can choke the Word of God in my life, then I can guarantee you just everyday living can choke the Word of God out of your life. So what's the answer? Well, I don't have just a formula that I can give you. But I am saying that if you would just accept this and recognize that when it talks about the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, enter in and chokes the word. If you could embrace this and just recognize that nothing, not ministry, not family, not your job, not your hobbies, not your sports, nothing can choke the word of God. Nothing can take away that time, regardless of who you are, regardless of how many years you have spent studying the Word of God. You still have to keep a priority on the Word of God. If you were to just embrace that truth and that became a revelation to you, then as you prayed about it and said, God, tell me, teach me how to balance this. Show me how I can have more time. Show me how I can prioritize my life. Show me things that I can do. You know, if you would pray, God would give you wisdom and He would show you things. And I don't have just a formula, but I'm saying that if you would accept this truth, then God would give you wisdom. You know, here's a little example that back when my kids were young, when they were still real little, I of course, have had a traveling ministry. I've only been on television since 2000, but I've been on radio since 75, I think it was, or 76. And I've been traveling and holding meetings ever since then. So I'm going on now 35 years or so that I've been traveling. And when my kids were little, you know what, I was trying to balance this about my family and my kids. And I didn't want to be gone when they were playing baseball and doing things. And so I was praying about it. And yet I had just assumed that since I had a traveling ministry and I got my income from traveling, going to churches and holding meetings and stuff, I just assumed that I had to be gone. And I was gone a bunch. And as my kids started coming along, I decided, you know, I've got to make a decision here. What am I going to do? And so just like I'm telling you to do, I prayed and I said, Lord, I've got to put You first and then my family second and then the ministry after that. And I said, but how can I do it? And the Lord just spoke to me and He said, take a calendar. And I took a calendar and during that month, He says, I want you to just color in every day that you're either gone at a meeting or you're traveling going to a meeting. So I did. I took my schedule and I just colored in every single day that I was gone. And, you know, I was gone about, I think it was 90-something percent of that month. I was either gone to a meeting or traveling to a meeting. And so I was gone 90% of the time. And He says, now take the income that you got from those meetings and see what percentage of your total income that is. And again, I had tapes and CDs and things like this that we were putting out. And we had radio, and we were getting income from that. And so he told me to take the percentage, I mean the money that I got from traveling, and look at what percentage that was. And you know what it turned out to be? 12% of my income came from something that I spent 90% of my time doing. And when I did that, it was just like a light bulb went on the inside of me. I thought, you know what? I've never thought about this before. I just assumed that if I am a traveling ministry, if I don't have a church, that I've got to travel. And I just was doing things because I assumed that's the way it was. But as I looked at it, it just became so logical that why would I spend 90% of my time doing something that produces 12% of my income? And I made a decision right then that I was going to cut back and that I would not travel more than 12% of the month. You know what that amounted to? About 3 days a month, maybe 3 to 5 days a month is all that I would travel. And when I first made that decision, it looked crazy. I'd never heard of anybody else who didn't have a local body of believers to support them. I'd never heard of anybody else doing this, but that's what I felt God led me to do. I was fearful about canceling meetings and changing my schedule because it's the way I'd done it for years. But you know what? The very next month, I mean, within days of the Lord showing me this, I had an entire month's worth of meetings canceled. It's the first time, it's the only time it's ever happened. I've never had this happen since or before. But an entire month of meetings just canceled. And rather than taking some other people who had invited me to come and filling in that time, I just left it all open. And I only ministered, I only traveled 3 days that next month. Did you know that even though I cut back, what would that be? I don't know, something like 80% on my travel. Did you know that that month was a record income month? The Lord began to prosper us. And so anyway, I'm saying that I was in a situation to where ministry was choking my time with my family, my time with the Lord. I was so busy traveling, I didn't have time to do anything. I prayed about it. God gave me a way to adjust. And do you know what? I have never suffered because of it. As a matter of fact, I've had many young ministers come to me and they just are so busy they're going. I remember one guy, I won't call his name, but I told him, I said, you are traveling too much. This is a marathon, not a sprint. You can't keep up the pace that you're doing. And he says, oh, I've got to do it because this is how I get my income. And I said, look, and I explained to him the same thing I've told you. And I said, you put God first and I guarantee you God will prosper you. Well, anyway, he just couldn't bring himself to do it. And he literally exhausted himself. And he got sick, not because of sickness, but just total exhaustion. And his doctor made him take 1 year off. And during that year, I mean, he was forced to do it. His physical body could not go anymore. And he took that year off. And, you know, during that year, his income went up because he shared it with his partners and they helped him. And anyway, now he's trying to use wisdom. And you know what? It can work differently. You don't have to do things. You do not have to get on this treadmill and this rat race to where you're doing things. If you would just embrace this principle and say, I've got to put a priority on first God. And I believe that that is also putting a priority on the Word of God. And then you put a priority on your family. And if you would just do what's the right thing, if you would embrace this and pray about it, the Holy Spirit will supernaturally show you how to put your life into priority so that you can put God in things first. You do not have to live the typical life that most people are living today to where you don't even have time for your family. You don't have time for God. You don't have time for your own health. You don't have time to ever get away. I'm telling you, the love of money, the deceitfulness of riches drives people today to where they're working 2 and 3 jobs. And that's not God. That's just not the way that God has ordained things. You need to embrace this and recognize that Satan, if he can't keep you hardened to the Word of God to where it doesn't penetrate, and if afflictions and persecutions won't stop you, then he'll just try and get you so busy raising a family, making a living, climbing the corporate ladder, doing all of the things that you need to do, that chokes the Word of God. And the bottom line is, it doesn't matter what these first 3 types of soil were. They were all separate. They all had separate situations. And yet the bottom line is, none of them saw the Word of God produce in their life. And so it doesn't matter if you're closer than somebody else. The Word of God will still be choked if you let the world. It'll choke the Word out of your life. I've got more to share on this, so I'm going to continue it on my program tomorrow. I encourage you to listen in. And also listen as our announcer gives you this information about how you can get this teaching on a sure foundation. It is guaranteed to change your life. So listen as our announcer gives you that information. Call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, A Sure Foundation, is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Make sure to specify whether you want the CD or DVD album when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third teaching in the Sure Foundation series titled, The Sower Sows the Seed, is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this third CD free of charge when you write or call. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to thank those of you who are partners with us. It's because of your giving that we are able to reach a potential of 2.2 billion people around the world. And you know, that's just amazing to me that God raises up people to help us do what He's called me to do. But there are many of you that are receiving benefit. You benefit from this program. God feeds you through this program. It's encouraged you, and yet you've never become a part of what we're doing. I'd like to encourage you to pray about it. I think if you would pray that the Lord would speak to you, that you need to give where you're fed. And if you would become a partner with us, you would help us to reach out. So we have a number on your screen. I encourage you to pray about it, then call that number and become a monthly partner with us today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Charis Bible College Men's Advance, January 28th through the 30th, and in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar, February 4th through the 6th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, February 7th. He'll also be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, March 3rd through the 5th, and in Colorado Springs for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I know that many of you are being really blessed just talking about the power of God's Word to change your life. And you know, these programs are great, and the materials that I offer are great, and there are people that are getting the Word and their life is being changed. But did you know, it's just amazing what happens when people sit under the Word 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, for 2 or 3 years. You get the equivalent of over 20 years worth of church attendance by coming to a Charis Bible College. And we not only have the one here in Colorado Springs, but we have 15 Bible colleges scattered around the world, and now we have an online Bible school. We have a number on your screen. I encourage you to call and ask about our Charis Bible colleges.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
Well, the same part of you that worries is the same part of you that meditates. Worry is nothing but meditation on something negative from an unbelief perspective. Meditation is just taking what God says and thinking about it and mixing it with faith. And so my point is that if you can go to work and still worry over something or be preoccupied with some situation at home, then you could also go to work and keep your mind stayed on the Lord.